Wow, it's a great Sunday when you bring kids in with palm branches and amazing music. By the way, as they're leaving, I just have to remind you, we've gotten better at this, the whole Palm Sunday thing. The first time we did this years ago, we asked someone, a volunteer, to bring some palm branches, and they brought the ones with thorns, all right? You have those? I think they're called it was a very bloody morning. Anyway, this went well. We've learned a lot over the years. Jesus revival. So today I want to talk about the revival on this Palm Sunday that Jesus Christ wants to work in your life. It's kind of like this. For any of you football fans, I'm sure you didn't miss this Monday night football game. It was a year ago, January 2nd. The Buffalo Bills, remember this, were playing the Cincinnati Bengals. And the Buffalo Bills have a safety by the name of DeMar Hamlin. And the running back came around the end. DeMar Hamlin met him. He took a helmet to the chest, and he made the tackle. He stands up, and then DeMar Hamlin collapses. Do you remember this? And he stopped breathing. His heart had stopped beating. The good news is, at every NFL game, there are about a dozen doctors there. Some of them are airway management specialists that know how to keep you breathing, and so they rushed on the field. One of the first there was a young trainer by the name of Denny Kellington, and Denny starts compressions on DeMar's chest. And then they came in with a defibrillator. The specialist got him breathing again. They got his heart beating. They got him to the hospital, but he was still unconscious. We're all wondering, is he going to make it? He finally woke back up, and he spoke. Do you know what his first words were? Did we win? Did we win? And they said, yes, you did. It was a good day. And then to get even better, in October, just 6 months after that injury, DeMar Hamlin went back on the field against Miami on October 1st. That's a revival, isn't it? Yes, that's amazing. And yeah, we're going to apply. I'm glad that he's alive today and still playing football. But today, I want to talk about a spiritual revival, the bringing back to life that Jesus does in our hearts and in our souls. So we've been making our way through this series that we've titled Only Jesus, and we talked about Jesus Revolution, Jesus Radical, Jesus Redeemer. Today, we're talking about Jesus Revival. Don't miss, next Sunday is Jesus Rising. And we're going to be hitting that. But today I want to talk about spiritual revival. And what does that mean? A revival is, as we talk about it as Christians, is this awakening spiritually that God does in our lives. And today I want to talk about how it happens and what it takes for a spiritual awakening, a Jesus revival to happen in your life. And I'm sharing this on Palm Sunday because on the first Palm Sunday, the people of Israel were desperate for a revival. They were, at the time, the Roman Empire had the boot of the empire on the necks of the Jewish people, and they were choking them out. They were suffocating them. They were about to die, and so they were desperate for a savior, someone to come along and rescue them. The thing is, Jesus did not come to revive a nation or a country. He came to revive souls. Our text today is Mark chapter 11. In this series, we've been making our way through the book of Mark, and we come to chapter 11, and we read this. They approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives. And Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord needs it, and we'll send it back shortly. Verse 4, they went and they found a colt outside on the street and tied to a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, why are you stealing the donkey? What are you doing untying that colt? And they answered as Jesus told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus, and they threw their cloaks over it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven. So I don't know if you know this already, but Hosanna literally means save us. In fact, you beg, save us, rescue us, is what the word Hosanna is. When we use Hosanna, we use it in our songs, we think it just means hallelujah. No, it literally means save us, rescue us. So the people are shouting out to Jesus, save us, rescue us. Today, as we talk about revival and as we read this first Palm Sunday story, I want to remind you that revival takes a laying down. It takes leaving something at the feet of Jesus Christ. And people, as Jesus, as we just read in our text in Mark chapter 11, as Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, people start laying things down at his feet. They lay down palm branches. The palm branch was a national symbol of the Jewish people as their symbol of pride. It was almost like their flag. And they're saying, you are so valuable. We're going to lay this at your feet to honor you. They took off their coats, their most valuable possession they had at the time, and they lay it at his feet. Some of them we read, some of your translations will say people took off their prayer shawls and they laid it down as an act of worship. They're saying, we worship you. We come and we'll lay everything we have down at your feet, saying you are the most valuable thing in our lives right now. We need you to save us. They're saying we need you to revive a nation. As we look at the people on this first Palm Sunday laying down their most valuable possessions, laying what they have in front of Jesus, I want to ask you, and I want to start with this question, what are you willing to lay down at the feet of Jesus? If you want Jesus to revive his spiritual work in your life, what are you willing to give up and lay down at his feet? In our country, over our history, we've had a number of meaningful, significant revivals. In fact, one of the largest ones happened just a year ago, February 8th. There was a Wednesday morning chapel at Asbury University in Kentucky, and at the end of chapel, the students just kept worshiping, and some started coming up front on stage to confess their sins, and they want to go home the rest of the day. Word spread about what was happening, and students started to travel in from other universities to join this worship at Asbury. In fact, they say more than 50,000 students came from other colleges around the country over 16 days as part of this revival. Students came from as far away as Japan and Russia to be a part of it. Now, when I heard about the Asbury revival, you think, how is this possible? You think, is that really true? And maybe I wouldn't even believe it, except I had the privilege once of being a part of a revival. I think most of you know, before we moved here to Chandler, we lived in Wheaton, Illinois, where I was a college pastor for 7 years. And one Sunday night, every Sunday night on the Wheaton College campus, they held what was called a World Christian Fellowship, WCF. And students would come together on Sunday nights in Pierce Chapel to worship and talk about global missions. And so one Sunday night when I was there, the person leading the chapel service gets up with a microphone and asks, if anyone here would like to confess your sins, we're going to have a mic standing right here. Come on up and confess your sins. And you think, oh, who in their right mind in front of 500 of your peers and faculty and friends would walk to the front of a chapel and confess your sins? Well, it was crickets at first. And then one brave young woman walks up on the stage and she starts to confess her sins. And that just opened a floodgate. And dozens and then hundreds of students came and lined up at the microphone. The line went out the chapel door. At 11 o'clock, there were still students lined up to confess their sins, one after another, that the chapel leader said, hey, we're going to close for tonight. Come back tomorrow at 6. And I was there for that second service. And that second service, students started still lined up out the door. And the chapel was packed to capacity, and one after another, they started confessing their sins. Some of them came prepared. Some brought backpacks up to the microphone. One of the first girls up, she said, I'm bringing my backpack full of alcohol. She said, I've been hiding bottles of alcohol all over my dorm room. She said, I'm a closet alcoholic. She said, I want to leave it at the feet of Jesus, and she left it on the stage. And then another guy brings in a garbage bag a garbage bag. He said, it's full of pornography. And he said, it's full of the magazines that I've been hiding around my room, DVDs I've been watching, and he left his pornography at the foot of the cross. Someone else just brought up a garbage bag. It was an empty garbage bag at first, and then people started to fill it with their sins. One after another, they would come up and they would drop their sins in this garbage bag at the cross. One guy, I didn't see this coming, but he came in with one of the biggest garbage bags full of things, and he says, my clothes have become my idol. He said, so apart from what I'm wearing right now, I put everything, all of the clothes in my dorm room in this bag, and he says, I want to leave it at the foot of Jesus. I'm not going to let clothes and shoes control my life anymore, and he leaves it there. And that night, as I watched this going, and by the way, it went on for six, seven hours a night. It was not till Friday, till all of the students had a chance to confess their sins at Wheaton College. And as I saw student after student stand in front of their peers and confess their deepest wrong, I thought, who could do that? But when Jesus Christ comes into your life and he convinces you that he is the savior of your life, then you realize there are things in your life that you need to lay down and give up and put at the feet of Jesus. That's why I say revival means laying it down. And so I'll ask this question again today. If you need to wake up to the work that Jesus Christ, that God wants to do in your life, what are you willing to lay down at his feet today? Can I ask you, what sin do you need to confess? What wrong do you need to admit that is there and confess before God? What thing, I wonder, has controlled your life? What possession do you have that possession is possessing you, and it's time for you to lay it at the feet of Jesus? So my invitation today is whatever that is that you've been holding on the inside, I invite you on this Palm Sunday to lay it at the feet of Jesus. Revival starts with a laying down. I'm going to say this next. Revival also takes a waking up, and a waking up to the fact that Jesus Christ is present in this place. When Jesus arrives in Jerusalem, there's a waking up in the city. There's a waking up in families. There's a waking up in individuals' lives that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is here. Let me read you this line in Matthew 21, verse 10. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred. Why? The whole city was stirred because they realized our king is present. In fact, the people chanted, Hosanna, your kingdom has come. And they've realized that their king now, this Messiah, is present and among them. So when Jesus first started doing his ministry, think about this with me. When you read the Gospels, we read of a lot of resistance to Jesus, a lot of doubting people. There were a lot of skeptics. But now Jesus walks in, and everybody finally acknowledges and admits that the Messiah is here and he is present. And so today, one of my hopes is to wake you up, awaken you to the presence of Jesus Christ in your life, in your world. I think he's more present and alive and working and doing things in your life than most of us are ever aware. I want to invite you to start from the time you wake up in the morning to the time you go to bed at night to start living in the presence of Jesus Christ in your life. I want to invite you to start seeing that Jesus, when you walk through the doors of your home, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ and his spirit is with you, then Jesus is present in your home. Do you live like that every day, like Jesus is in the middle of your family? I want to wake you up to the fact that Jesus is present in your work, whatever job God has given you. It's a divine appointment. God doesn't put us places by mistake. He's put you there. Your work is sacred. Have you claimed your workplace as somewhere where Jesus Christ is present because you are there? Is Jesus Christ present in your meetings, in your sales meetings, in your engineering meetings, in your planning? Is Jesus Christ present in your classroom or on your hospital floor or in a truck where you drive around town? I don't know where you spend your time, but I want to remind you that Jesus Christ is present. I want to awaken you to his presence there. Jesus keeps inviting us when we read his words to live in his presence. He uses the word abide or dwell sometimes. Look at this in John chapter 15, verse 4. He says, live in me. Some of your Bibles will read abide in me or dwell in me. Make your home in me, just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch cannot bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you cannot bear fruit unless you are joined to me. Jesus's point is you can only thrive as a human being. You can only thrive as a follower of God if you live in my presence. I think a lot of times as Christians, we make our primary spiritual goal to sin less. And that's a good plan. But maybe a better plan is to make your primary spiritual goal to abide and to dwell in the presence of God every day and practice his presence in every moment. What would it be like if you began to live every moment from the time you get up to the time you go to bed like that? It would change everything. It would change how you went through your day, how you talked to people, how you treated your wife or your husband, or how you treated your kids or your coworkers. Begin to see his presence everywhere. Josh Havens and I have a friend who is a musician, Leland. He has a band named Leland. And Leland and his brother Jack said they were in a pub one night getting something to eat, and they looked around the room and they saw these words that one of them finally realized was a prayer. And so they wrote the words down, and then they wrote lyrics and music to a song that they titled Christ Be All Around Me. And they realized that in this Irish pub was St. Francis's evening prayer, and here's how it reads. Christ with me. And it's just one of my favorite, I'm sharing it because it's maybe my favorite reminder of the presence of Christ in our lives. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ above me, Christ below me, Christ in every eye that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me, Christ in the heart of every person who thinks of me, Christ when I lay down, Christ when I arise, Christ be all around me. I invite you to pray that prayer and to live that prayer. Finally, I want to remind you this morning that revival means come back to life, doesn't it? Now, revival means that you have come back to life. And for us as believers, it means that we come back to life in Jesus Christ. When I say this, I think of a moment that a friend of Veronica and mine, she has a son. She just has one child, one son. And about a year and a half ago, when he was about, I think, 11, maybe 12 years old, they had gone in late July to San Diego. And he had AFib, a form of AFib. His heart beats just a little uniquely, but she it never bothered him much. And she didn't think much about diving in the Pacific Ocean. But she forgot, what's the Pacific Ocean like in late July? Stinking cold, super cold, very cold, it's cold. And so her son runs in, jumps in the water, and his heart stops. And she's kind of looking the other way, not paying a whole lot of attention. She turns back around, and he's gone. He's underwater. So she runs, and she dives in where she thought he was, and fortunately her hand hits him, and she grabs him, and she pulls him up. But what she didn't know, that right behind her was a lifeguard station, and it wasn't just any lifeguard station. On that day, the lifeguards of San Diego had all been invited or asked to come in for a refresher course on CPR. So you had the city's leading CPR specialist leading this seminar just a few feet behind her. So there are like two dozen lifeguards around her in a moment. And they started doing chest compressions, and they got him breathing again, and they got his heart beating again, and he revived. Revival is coming back to life. That's your invitation spiritually today as we talk about revival. Jesus wants to do that for you spiritually. And maybe right now as we talk about this, you have been spiritually dry. Maybe your spiritual heart has slowed down. Maybe your spiritual heart has stopped beating. Then today, I want to invite you to come back to life. And it's just not coming back to any kind of life. One of the great lines in Mark 11:10 that we read earlier is the people saying, blessed is the coming kingdom of your father David. And Jesus, it kept saying, I am bringing a new kingdom. When God brings you back to life, it's not the same life you used to have. It's a brand new, it's a better life in a new kingdom. You're from the old kingdom. It's not the old kingdom of revenge and hurt and unforgiveness and bitterness and anger and indulgence, but you come to life in a new kingdom. That's the kingdom there's chanting about, a kingdom of love and forgiveness and compassion and justice. That's a kingdom that you've been invited into. I said that revival means come back to life. And really isn't the entire Bible story a come back to life story. It's about people trying to find their way back to God. When you look at characters, individuals in the Bible, it seems like half the people in the Bible needed to come back to life. David needed a comeback to God. Moses needed a comeback. Jonah definitely needed a comeback to God. Samson, you name them. Even the people of Israel needed a comeback from Israel, a comeback from the Roman people. And the Easter story is a reminder of how God wants you to come back to life in him. Today, we're going to invite you and whoever would like to baptism. And it's a picture of the spiritual awakening that we experience in life. Baptism is a picture of how our old self dies, goes under the water, but then we come back out of the water to life. Paul, in the book of Romans, he says it like this. We have it on the screen. This is from the Message Bible. This is what happens in baptism. When we went under the water, we left the old country of sin behind. When we came back up out of the water, we entered into the new country of grace, a new life in a new land. When we are lowered into the water, it's like the burial of Jesus. When we are raised up out of the water, it is like the resurrection of Jesus. This is what God wants to do in your life. This is why baptism is such a beautiful picture of the coming back to life that God does in our lives. A few years ago, Veronica and I were in Los Angeles. And while we were there, our high school ministry was just finishing their week of serving in Compton. And they always spend the last day on the beach at Huntington Beach. So I thought, hey, let's show up at Huntington and hang out with them. And so Veronica and I go down to Huntington Beach and we meet the high schoolers. We're having a great time. But then their high school pastor, Byron, has planned a baptism for the end of the day. So as everyone's wearing out and getting tired late in the afternoon, he invites all of the kids who want to get baptized, about 24 of them, come down to the water to be baptized. And Huntington Beach, maybe you've been there, it's a busy beach. You know, there's people throwing footballs and frisbees. There's people playing their boom boxes and there's music blasting. There's dogs running around and kids crying. You know, there's all that happening. But for some reason, when Byron started to baptize the high schoolers, all of Huntington Beach right there along that stretch of beach stopped. And everybody stopped running. They turned their music off. They stopped throwing the football. They stopped walking. And they just watched. Because I think they all knew that something supernatural was happening, something divine. They saw as one student would go under the water and come back, they knew that somebody was coming back to life. And so they stopped. And then that crowd of, 200 people who didn't even know who we were from the Grove, they started to applaud. As high school after high school, they're all cheering the crowds in Huntington Beach because they knew that a soul was being brought back to life. And so in the same way today, I want to invite you to be baptized. Maybe you came here today having no plans at all to be baptized, but maybe today you need a revival. And so today is your day to be baptized. I want to invite everyone who signed up to be baptized to come. We have our troughs with waters on all four sides of the rooms. I'm going to ask everyone in the room to stand. And then if you would like to be baptized today, I want to ask you to move. We have this side of the room is for men in the men's restroom over this way. We have shorts and t-shirts. Women head this direction to our counseling space. We have shorts and t-shirts for women as well. And then find one of the troughs. Everyone here, whether you plan to or not, you're welcome. Because maybe this is the day that you need revival in your life. Maybe you've experienced an abuse and you have forgotten how good and beautiful that God makes you, I invite you today to come and be baptized, because today is your day for revival, to be reminded that God makes us beautiful. Maybe you have been broken by a person, broken by circumstances. Today is your day for revival because God makes us whole. So come and be baptized today. Maybe you've wandered far from God. Today is your day to come back to Him. It's never too late. You can't go too far. Today is your day for revival. Maybe you've been battling an addiction. I say today is your day for healing. Today is your day for revival. Jesus Christ wants to heal you from whatever has been pulling you under and down. So church, I invite you to come today, come right now, be a part of this baptism. I think this is a special day in the life of the Grove.